This evening's second reading comes to us from 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. I'll be reading from the New King James this evening. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. The word of the Lord. The last couple of months, the violent nature of our current world has kind of crept into our Celtic Vespers service in a way that makes the homilies feel a little bit more like sermons. The difference between a homily and sermon is not really definite, but traditionally, a sermon calls us to some kind of action, while a homily asks us to reflect inwardly on our own relationship with God. The homily is also a little bit shorter, usually. And while that part of the service has stayed the same in our time for silent reflection, it didn't really keep the true feeling of what Celtic Vespers has been in the past. And while I haven't heard any complaints about it, I noticed it. And so I apologize for that, and I promise you that I'll be more careful about not letting it happen again. The world should absolutely influence our interpretation of God's word here, but it shouldn't feel like a Sunday service, because Celtic Vespers primarily exist to celebrate both the history of our church and the presence of God all around us, and especially in nature. Within all the poetry and readings that you hear each month in this service, there is one common thread you'll find that the Celts believed in most strongly: God is everywhere. Steve has already read some beautiful examples this evening that are so similar in this belief that they sound as if they came from the same text. Each shade and light, each day and night, he read. Each time in kindness, each chancel and church, all plains and mountains, bird song and bee song, bless thee, all the old, all the young, the stars of heaven, the air, and the ether. God is everywhere. And not only did he so love the world that he gave us the gift of his Son, he also gave us the gift of this world. Originally, the Celtic nations were pagans, and they believed that many gods governed over nature. Once Christianity was introduced, they realized that all of creation belongs to God and is from God. But that doesn't mean that nature is God. That belief is called pantheism, and it's why many Christian denominations don't outwardly talk about this aspect of God's love, because they don't want to cause confusion. Recently, I read an anecdote from Presbyterian minister Lynn, I believe it's pronounced Lynn Babe, it's B-A-A-B, that talks about this confusion. A few years ago, Pastor Lynn was talking with a friend from her childhood. She doesn't name the friend, but I'm going to call her Mary just to make the story a little easier to follow. Pastor Lynn asked Mary about her sense of faith, and Mary said that she was basically a druid. Lynn asked her what she meant, and Mary replied that she experiences God in nature. For her, nature enables her to experience a sense of transcendence, and nature is her church. Any worship she experiences is in nature. Pastor Lynn said to her, "I can really relate to that. I often experience God in nature." Mary was surprised by this, and she said, "Wait a minute, you're a Christian. How can you say that?" Pastor Lynn answered, "God created everything. When I look at the world he made, I see it as his handiwork. We can learn something from artists, about artists rather, we can learn something about artists from looking at their artwork. And in the same way, we can experience something of God in nature. That doesn't mean nature equals God. It just means it reveals something about God because he made it and he sustains it. Because nature is so beautiful," she said, "it speaks to me of God's beauty." Pantheists believe that the earth is God, that all of nature is God. We Christians believe that we can see aspects of God in nature because he created it, but that he is separate from his creation in the same way that an artist is separate from his painting. As Americans, we've lost this belief somehow that God is all around us. It's why we hear over and over again troubling statements such as "God is dead" when tragedy happens in our world, when all we have to do is look around us to feel his presence. It wasn't always this way. Over and over again, the psalmists of the Bible praise God for his creations. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers." This gift of the earth is an extension of God's love for us. It is something for us to enjoy, but is also a reminder that he is near when the world makes it seem as though he is very far away. Sometimes we can find ourselves easily overwhelmed by the stresses of our everyday lives or by the problems of this world. And those are the times when it can be difficult to find God. My television set sits directly below a window in my living room. Actually, that's not completely accurate. Maybe 20 years ago it would have sat below, but now they're so big these days that my television actually takes up the bottom half of my window. And that sounds like a less than ideal spot, but it actually turns out to be a blessing. Because when I see a news report, as I did this week, for example, about how a 6-year-old boy beat his 2-week-old sister to death in a minivan in Florida, all I have to do is raise my eyeline a few inches, and I can watch birds flitting in the trees beyond that window. I can watch squirrels chase each other across the branches. If I press mute, I can hear the sounds of basketballs being dribbled on the court down the road, or the laughter and chatter of children as they play in the nearby park. I can hear people greet each other as they pass on the sidewalk in front of my house. I can look at my walls and see the faces of my family and friends. If I'm cooking, I can smell the aroma of maybe pasta sauce cooking in the kitchen, some of its ingredients that have been plucked from local gardens by the hands of my friends. Other ingredients come from farms far away, harvested by the hands of people I'll never meet. Tomatoes and onions and mushrooms and peppers, these are all ancient gifts that have survived thousands of years for us to enjoy. And all of those things don't completely remove my anger at such a violent and unnecessary tragedy. They can't fully take away my sadness at the life lost and the lives that have been forever changed. But those things do provide a sense of balance, as long as I remember to look for them. They provide proof that there is a loving God that has provided for us and watches over us and calms us and cares for us and rules over all things so that we don't have to worry. Our reading this evening reminds us that no one has seen God at any time, but we can still find him everywhere we look and everything we see. We're told that if we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. Through that love, the love that we share with each other, and the love that we see reflected back at us, that's where we find God, and that's where we find comfort. If we were to continue reading in this chapter, we'd find one of the most beautiful sentences ever written, in my opinion. "Perfect love casts out all fear." We are as much a creation of God as every petal on every flower, each drop of rain, the clouds that form those drops, as each rock and mountain and tree and ocean and animal. And to paraphrase Pastor Lynn Babe, just as we can learn something about artists from looking at their artwork, we can appreciate something about God in nature. As we pause for our moment of silent reflection this evening, we might think about those moments in our day or during the past week where we felt stressed or overwhelmed. Play through those moments in your mind and find the places where God was near. And ask yourself, how can I become more aware of his presence in the future? In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.